So you wanna be an outlaw, but take it from me. It's living on the highway ain't everything supposed to be. Everybody reckons that they wanna be free. Ain't nobody wants to be alone.
Steve Earle has a new album out, a return to the roots he planted in Nashville. He moved there from Texas when he was 19, when Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and that crew, the Outlaws, were making records with a raw, rocky edge, living a hard lifestyle. That lifestyle, Steve Earle served jail time for weapons and drug possession, had 7 marriages, 2 to the same woman. He's been clean for 22 years. He's single now. As Baron Lane wrote in Twang Nation, maybe this record is about looking back in order to move forward. Let's find out. His CD is called So You Want to Be an Outlaw, and Steve Earle joins us from KUOW in Seattle. Steve Earle, welcome back.
Good to be back.
What are you? What would you say you're doing with this record?
God, you know, it was sort of an accident just trying to come up with another record to make. The way my job works is I make a record, and I get to talk to people like you and press outlets, and that, you know, gives me a way to go around to the same places I've been playing for 30 years again.
Yeah.
and play some more shows and pay my bills. You know, I made a record that was all blues songs because it's part of what I do and always has been. And then Sean Colvin and I made a record together. In the middle of all that, T-Bone Burnett called me and wanted a song for the first season of Nashville when he was music director, because one of the characters had a brother who had just gotten out of prison and had written a song. And I wrote that song. And meanwhile, Buddy Miller takes over as the music director of Nashville. He asked for a song, and I wrote Looking for a Woman. In the middle of the Colvin tour, I realized I got to make another record, you know. So I'm putting out these two songs, and I realized they sort of have a thread that runs through them, and I was trying to figure out what it was. And then I realized that I've always got a Beatles, Stones, Waylon, Willie, Bob Dylan record that's in rotation that I listen to every 10 years or so, whether I need to or not.
Huh.
And I'd been listening to Honky Tonk Heroes, which is a Waylon Jennings record from 1973 that I love.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Looking for a Woman, you know, the song that you wrote and thought, maybe I've got something here. Let's listen.
But I can't rest no matter what I do, 'cause I'm looking for a woman who won't do me like you.
Now that you've said it, Steve Earle, I think I do, now that I've heard that song, to hear a little honky-tonk thing.
Well, Honky Tonk Heroes was this one record that, you know, it really starts with Doug Somm, you know, as in the Sir Douglas Quintet, moves back from California in 71, and Willie Nelson moves back from Nashville, and Willie makes Shotgun Willie in Phases and Stages. Waylon hears those records. And what you're dealing with are country artists that realize that rock artists have artistic freedoms that they don't have. And these guys set out to make records the way that they wanted to. And it created this moment that people refer to as outlaw. And it just happens to be the moment I left Texas, and I sort of witnessed the beginnings of it on that end. And I landed in Nashville by 1974, and I saw the result of that in Nashville. And it was a great time to be there. It was exciting.
You also said something else that jumped out at us, this idea of having to make records so that you can tour, so you can do interviews and get people to come to the tours, to make money. You reflect what we hear from a lot of artists. Radio has been taken out of the equation for a lot of them. And so this is, you know, how you have income. And for you, it feels like this is really important right now, because you talk about your son, John Henry, who has autism. And I think you told The Guardian that the two centers of your world right now are recovery, constant job, and autism and your son. Talk a little bit about that and how that's
affected you. It's just one of those things that, you know, I have a little boy. He's 7. He was diagnosed with autism when he was not quite 2 years old. He still doesn't speak and pops out with a word every once in a while, but he still doesn't speak conversationally. He does have some signs. He loves water so much we decided it was imperative that he learn to swim, and he did, and he swims like a fish. It's his favorite thing is water, anything to do with water. And music. He loves music. He's in a school that's expensive, and it's one of those things. I know why I get up in the morning now. I got to try to figure out how to make sure he's going to be all right after I'm gone. It'll it will keep you working, you know, having that kind of responsibility.
Yeah. Well, you and his mom, country star Alison Moore, are divorced now. But there's a beautiful song on your new record that you co-wrote with Alison and your niece, Emily Earle. It's called News from Colorado. Let's listen.
Sunlight slipped right through the blinds that carefully pulled down. Dragged me from my dreaming and I woke up on the ground. Phones ringing by my head just like I knew it would. News from Colorado's never good.
You've said that this CD is, it's about influences, you told us. You've also said it's about loss. And I think I understand you're writing a memoir. You have to go back over, you know, your past when you write a memoir.
Yeah, I think people may be disappointed in it. The memoir, which I'm in the kind of the heat of right now, is becoming a book about recovery. And there's quite a bit about meeting my first wife and very little about anybody else. And it sort of became necessary to talk about Sandy, my first wife, just because of that's the moment I go to Houston, meet Towns. All of that stuff. And then after that, I sort of deal with it with a sort of mini chapter called The Tale of the Wives, which is something that connects them all together. Because basically all I was trying to do was do what my parents did. And I just couldn't convince myself that it might be impossible.
What do you mean, do what your parents did?
They were married until my dad passed away, you know, 8 years ago. And what Guy and Susanna Clark did, they were together most of the time until Susanna passed away. And I wanted that. That as far as you have role models, I had role models and teachers as a songwriter, and that's who my role models and teachers as far as relationships were. I was trying to do what my parents did. That was it. And I failed at it every single solitary time. And when you've been married as many times as I have, you figure out it's your fault. But, you know, it's just like everybody else. I operated on the assumption there's somebody out there for everybody. And the fact is, and I'm a romantic, if nothing else. And the fact is, there may not be somebody out there for everybody. And that's kind of romantic, too, when you think about it.
Well, there is that 7-year-old. Steve Earle, you mentioned your friend Towns Van Zandt, the great Texas songwriter. We last spoke to you when you made a tribute album a few years ago. This new record closes with tribute to, as you mentioned, the other friend and mentor, the great Guy Clark. Let's just listen to a little Goodbye, Michelangelo.
Goodbye, maestro, farewell. Gone to heaven, been to hell. Or maybe just New Mexico. Goodbye, Michelangelo.
Steve Earle, just to leave us with some thoughts on Guy Clark.
He was my teacher, and he was more of a direct teacher than Towns was. Towns was like, give me a copy of Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee and tell me not to put the cap back on the bottle or somebody would kick it over. Guy would show me how he laid a song out on the page. You know, we were writing long story songs. He and I were drunk for 3 days when the record, The Edmund Fitzgerald, went to number one because we thought there was some hope for us because we were writing all these long story songs. And when, you know, this Gordon Lightfoot song went to number one. And I think he was maybe the greatest story songwriter that ever lived. I mean, as far as writing stuff that was essentially really incredibly detailed prose and setting it to music, Guy Clark did that better than anybody did.
Well, now you got me wanting to listen to not just your great new CD, So You Want to Be an Outlaw, but Guy Clark, Gordon Lightfoot. Go back over it all. Steve Earle, his new album is So You Want to Be an Outlaw, not a how-to, more of a cautionary tale. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cry, you'll find you by and by, just like it did before. Saying forever, it's just goodbye till it comes my time. I won't have to travel blind. Taught me everything I know. Goodbye, Michelangelo.